One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is a rebroadcast of the just concluded Global Communion service with Pastor Chris.
Hallelujah.
This month of February, you have to understand that in a year like this, with what the Lord has planned, how you begin matters. How you begin. How you begin. Your January, your February, and maybe into March, first quarter of the year. You have to plan in such a way that your foundation is very strong for the year. You have to work with the Spirit of God to plan your trajectory. You can't afford to let things go as circumstances may channel them. You have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to make your year what God has determined. You know that almost every year, in fact, every year, people make choices, they make plans, they even make resolutions. They say, this year I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They set goals, but how many at the end of the year realize the goals? How many are actually successful in their plans? A lot of times, many don't achieve what they set themselves to achieve from the beginning of the year. They look at the year with great hopes. Then they fail to do the things that should be done for those visions to come to pass. And many times they don't even know what to do. They're not sure. Prayer is just one part of it. Prayer alone will not make it happen. There are things in the Word of God that are shown to us. You know, when a year's before us, like many say, you don't know what the year holds. They say, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen in the year. Of course, there are details you don't know. But if you study God's word and follow him, he tells you what's going to happen. Because he leads you. He guides you. Knowledge of God's word is important. The knowledge of God's word is important. So I'm going to share with you very, very vital things from God's word concerning the message of this month. Okay, so maybe I should tell you what it is, and then we can go into it. We've had, I think it was in 2020, one of the months of 2020, with the same title, but a huge difference in the fact that you're operating at a higher level than before. This month of February is the month of wisdom. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying. But what is wisdom? What is wisdom? I've through the years, looked at several dictionaries, and of course, I've heard different speakers say something about wisdom. The greatest philosophers of the world and the best dictionaries cannot define wisdom. It's amazing. They can't define it. They don't know what it is. You know, they use all kinds of words because they don't know what it is. So I can say to you that all the best definitions you might find in the best dictionaries of the world don't define wisdom. They don't, because they don't know what it is. And that's no surprise. To know what wisdom is, you have to know the Word of God. It comes from God. See, no school gives wisdom. They can't give it to you. Not enough professors of the world can deliver wisdom to you. You can't do it. You don't even know what it is. The most they have, the best they have, is assumptions. And yet, I can give it to you. I can give you the definition of wisdom in three words. I can give it to you in three words. Simple. In three words. And with those three words, you can understand why they can't know it. Why they can't know it. Should I give it to you? I've given it to you before. See, I did quite some elaborate teachings on wisdom years ago, right? Okay, so let me give it to you in very simple terms that not even the philosophers can understand. Wisdom is, and here are the three words, insights into reality. That's wisdom. Wisdom is insight into reality. The reason they cannot define that is the subject of reality. They get into trouble because they don't understand what reality is. So they go, how can we understand reality? What is reality? And that's so powerful because reality is a synonym of the word truth. Truth. So you might as well say wisdom is insight into truth. Then they got a problem. What is truth? What is truth? Not even Pilate could understand that. Jesus said, I was born to bear witness to the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus gave the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. I'm the reality. And there's another expression in the Bible that's so beautiful. You want to understand more about wisdom. You know, we read that the Bible tells us that God gave a man in this world wisdom such like he never gave anybody. Solomon was given such wisdom. Nobody else had before. And no one had it until Jesus. I'm going to read to you what the Bible says about the wisdom that God gave to Solomon. I want to read a particular area that shows us the three kinds of wisdom as given to Solomon. You ready? 1 Kings chapter 4. More reading from verse 29. King James Version. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Wow. That's amazing. When you read it from the Septuagint, it helps you understand that he gave him phronesis and Sophia. But then there's the other one there. It's broken down, so many don't understand exactly what it's talking about. When it says largeness of heart, it's not the medical problem, an enlarged heart. There is talking about an extraordinary amplitude of sagacity. That's what he's talking about there. And in the Greek, he's referring to the word sunyemi, which is for wise in terms of comprehension. Comprehension. So, there's where you get sunesis from. Sunesis, understanding. So, in Ephesians chapter 1, he gives you those two. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 8, let's read together. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is so powerful. Now, the word translated wisdom here is the word Sophia, and the one translated prudence is the word phronesis. And phronesis is wisdom, actually, so not, it's a kind of wisdom. It's a kind of wisdom. They call it practical wisdom, but I'll explain better to you in a moment. You want to see a little more about that? Go to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 17. It says, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that's Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. The word wisdom there is phronesis. The wisdom of the just. That means the wisdom of the righteous. Phronesis. The wisdom of the righteous. The wisdom of the just. John's description of this wisdom is, you go to third epistle of St. John. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 3. I want you to follow carefully. Into verse 4, actually, but let's go. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. The truth that is in thee. It's talking about Gaius. Even as thou walkest in the truth. You see, this is practical wisdom. Walking in the truth. See? Who is it? Wisdom. Insights into reality. And that insight into reality is Sophia. Wisdom, insight into reality. But practical wisdom is walking in the truth, walking in the reality. So John is breaking down for you the meaning of phronesis, the wisdom of the just. I want you to look at verse 4. Verse 4 is so beautiful. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In other words, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in phronesis. Wisdom is so important. So important. You're going to have to appreciate wisdom in a new light. This month, let me show you something in the Bible. Word tells us in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, when you go to verse 52, about Jesus. See what the Bible says. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, the previous verses tell us a story about Jesus when he was a little boy, okay, just growing up, and how that he was on a certain occasion in the temple. The parents had been looking for him, and then only to find he was in the temple and is asking and answering questions. He was with the elders, and he spoke with tremendous wisdom. No surprise at him. And then the parents came and they said, we've been looking for you. And he says, how come you're looking for me? Didn't you know I'll be in my father's house? Then he followed them home. Okay. And then the Bible tells us here, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. In other words, he was growing. Physically growing from being a little boy. He's growing. And as he grew, he also increased in wisdom. How many people actually increase in wisdom as they grow? Sometimes you find a 16-year-old boy behaving like a 10-year-old. Sometimes you find a 60-year-old man talking like he's 22. His wisdom never increased. He's carried along his foolishness. And you know, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It takes a rod of correction, drive it away from him. Maybe nobody helped him. Maybe nobody corrected him. And he grew up with his foolishness. Oh, I've been there listening to adults talk foolishness. And some don't even know that they're talking foolishness. They don't have the wisdom enough to know. This month, I want to think differently. Think differently. And something else that happens to many, that even after they become Christians, sometimes even as preachers, ministers, they corrupt their wisdom. And this is a tragedy. It's a tragedy. I'll show you in the scripture in a second. Because you have to be warned. You have to be, somebody's got to talk to you from the Word of God. Let me show you first in scripture, the Bible says. Now you can go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. And I'd like to read from verse 14 so you can have the right context. Here, God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and he's addressing Satan. He says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. What's iniquity? Iniquity is wickedness, darkness. Injustice, gross injustice. You know, there are different kinds of sins. They're classified in the Word of God. So when you see a term like this in the Bible, it's good to understand what it's referring to. This, in the King James, uses the right word to describe what it's saying, iniquity, objectionable behavior. So something objectionable was found in Satan, in this anointed cherub who was Lucifer, son of the morning, before he became a devil. See? It says, thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till objectionable behavior was found in you. How, why did that happen? Because, you see, he was anointed. And by the anointing, he had the power to do what he chose to do. He was anointed. He could do what he chose to do. He chose to do what was wrong. And so watch what follows. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Now, some of this part of it requires a lot of explanation. You may not understand this if I don't go into it. So let me skip that for you. You want to read it on your own, do that later. But go to verse 17. Hear the key verse. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was so beautiful. It says all the precious stones, the most precious stones were used as his decor, his covering when God created him. It was the most beautiful thing. And he knew it. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. That means by reason of your splendor. Of so much splendor. He corrupted his wisdom because of his splendor. See that? Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. I said you can corrupt your wisdom. You can be someone that is reputed for wisdom and you can corrupt it. That your wisdom becomes abominable to God because it's corrupted. You are a Christian. So Christ has made wisdom unto you. But you keep telling lies. Telling lies, that corrupts your wisdom. What does it mean for wisdom to be corrupted? It means the wisdom that is working through you is going to get you into trouble. Why? Because it's corrupted. It's not trustworthy. It's not trustworthy. See that? The wisdom that comes from you is not trustworthy. That means your counsel should not be followed. It means others should be careful about listening to you because your wisdom is corrupted. So you're not only going to mislead yourself, you're going to mislead others as well in the process of time because you function in corrupted wisdom. So you've seen in the scripture things about Satan and how Satan tempts and how Satan can tell something that seems to be true. And then it's misleading. That's exactly what it is. Satan quotes scripture, but then he takes something out of it or puts something into it or misapplies it in the wrong context because his wisdom is corrupted. Don't corrupt the wisdom that God has given. Don't corrupt it. Otherwise, it'll destroy you. It can't be trusted. So this is the amount of wisdom, and you want to walk in the wisdom of God that is uncorrupted, unsolid, unmarred. I'll show you a couple of other things. Because I just told you that Jesus increased in wisdom. See, you can increase in wisdom. You can increase in wisdom. In fact, if you read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible tells us how we should grow in grace. See that? Grow in grace. and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. Increase in grace. And in the knowledge of the Lord. So, are you growing in grace? Are you growing? Can you see that in your life? And in the knowledge, knowing the Lord. You see, you got to make up your mind. You're going to learn more about the Lord. You're going to learn more from the Word of God. You're going to study the Scriptures. You're going to come to the house of God. Listen, if you don't delight yourself in the things of God, you'll be losing so much. I'll get to that a little later. It says, but to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Increase in wisdom. Increase in wisdom. Now, by increasing wisdom in your life, the glory of your life will increase. Did you know that each one of us has a certain amount of glory? Do you know that? Much like the Bible tells us, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's take a look at verse 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. Now, remember, Jesus is called the Sun of Righteousness. And what does the Bible call us? Stars. Calls us stars. That's what the Bible says. God, stars. He's the sun. And we're stars of righteousness. Watch. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star different from another star in glory. See that? The stars are different in glory. One star differs from another star in glory. What's the glory of your life like? Let me show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read from verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Hey, this is powerful. Hey. Listen, I just showed you something really powerful. Look at it. We speak wisdom. Now, the more you speak wisdom, the greater the glory of your life. See it? You want the glory of your life to increase, you're going to have to talk wisdom. Well, you can't talk wisdom if you're not meditating on God's word. That's why he told you to grow in grace.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@level360.com. God bless you.